Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Yaron Brook Show, broadcasting today from beautiful Seattle. You get to travel across the country with me as I, you know, every week pretty much I'm on the road, although typically weekends I'm at home from Southern California broadcasting to you, but today from Seattle. You know, I don't know how many of you watched the presidential debates this last Thursday, the debate, the Republican debate, 10 candidates up on stage, 2 hours worth of questions. I found it incredibly boring. Boring, I guess. I thought the questions were pathetic. And in spite of the questions being pretty pathetic, most of the candidates seemed to do whatever they could to avoid even answering the questions, which is really, I think, really, really unfortunate. The Republicans this year, I actually think, have the best group of candidates they have probably had in decades. These are, I don't agree with any of them, really, or don't agree with any of them on everything. I agree with some of them on some things. But you have to give them credit. They're articulate. There's a number of them that have interesting ideas. They have experience. And yet, I guess it's because of the political process or because of the way we in a modern America conceive of politics, they don't get asked interesting questions that force them to actually articulate their governing philosophy, what they actually believe are the principles that would guide this country, that they would help guide this country. There's no discussion of principle. Principle is out. Principle is old-fashioned. Principle. God forbid we should talk about principles. We can talk about God all we want, but no principles. You know, the founding fathers would be horrified. Think of the people you know, who actually engaged in writing the Federalist Papers and debates about the Constitution and edited the Declaration of Independence and thought in principles. You know, this group, as articulate and smart and experienced as they are, they don't think in principles, or at least they're not giving a chance to express those principles. And they're not asked about them because we, the American public, we, the voters, don't seem to care. We don't seem to care. So, you know, we don't seem to demand from them some kind of political philosophy, some kind of idea about what will guide their actual actions once they become president. We want to know, you know, what they feel about certain things. We want to know about their relationship with other candidates. A lot of the questions were trying to bait them in trying to discuss their experience, but not in any kind of substantial, significant, helpful way that would actually let us as voters get a sense of who these people really are, what they stand for, and what kind of president they will be. The questions were boring, so of course the answers were boring. Right? And of course, if they would have asked them about principles, I think Donald Trump would have said, "What are those? Principles? I've never heard of that concept." No, because Donald Trump is an absolute 100% unequivocal pragmatist. Pragmatist in a sense that he does whatever he thinks he can get away with. He's not a principled man. He hasn't run his businesses as a principal. He says whatever comes into his mind. He says what emotion drives him to say. There is no governing philosophy there. He wants to cut deals. Politics, he thinks, is about cutting deals. Indeed, unfortunately, I think most people out there, Republicans, Democrats, moderates, whatever, think politics is about cutting deals. Well, I disagree. You know, I see people already calling in because they must disagree with me. I disagree. Politics are not about cutting deals. Politics are about articulating governing principles, role of government, what should government do, and then executing on those ideas, on those principles. And sometimes rejecting deals. A deal with Iran right now would be a good idea to reject, for example. And it's not an issue of a better deal For example, with regard to Iran, you can't deal with evil. We don't cut deals with mass murderers. We don't cut deals with child molesters. You don't cut deal with your local, mass murderer. That's absurd. Life is not about cutting deals. Certainly not political life, when there are real principles at stake, real lives at stake, real futures at stake. So Trump would have not known how to even answer the question. He would have not even known what the question was, because some of these guys can't think in principle. It's interesting to discuss kind of what Donald Trump's appeal is. And I really think the primary appeal Donald Trump has is that he just says whatever he thinks, that he's not a politician. That's his real appeal. And that he says what he thinks, and he's willing to be outrageous, and he's not politically correct. That's what makes him appealing. But he's not politically correct in a kind of a random way. Again, it's not that he's guided by some kind of ideas. It's not that he's guided by some kind of philosophy, political philosophy that he wants to articulate about the role of government. And that's what was really missing from the debate. I mean, I would have asked the first question, I think, every political debate, every single political debate should be, is, what is your political philosophy? What do you believe? What principles would guide you as president of the United States? Now, I can tell you what mine is. I believe that government is there to protect our rights. It's to protect us from crooks and criminals and fraudsters and terrorists and foreign invaders and people who want to build nuclear bombs to drop them on us. Other than that, its job is to protect us. It's to leave us alone. Leave us alone to live our lives. We have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which means we have a right to dictate how we live our lives. And the government, all government needs to do is give us the space to do that. The space to do that means prevent people from using coercion against us, prevent people from using force against us. But other than that, leave us alone. That's my governing philosophy. You know, others might have a different. Some people are socialists. Some people are, some people believe that the state should follow their morality, that the state has a role in articulating their morality or their religion, that the state has a role in enforcing that. But people have different views on what the role of the state is. Let's get that out onto the table first. Let's have a debate on that before we have debates on the minutia. All right, we're going to take a call from Sean here, who says what happened on Thursday wasn't a debate but an inquisition. How's that, Sean?
It was an inquisition because it was asked pointed questions of each candidate based on either a previous incident or a previous answer that they wanted to retract. Whereas what we are experiencing, what we should be experiencing in a debate, is the grand philosophy that they believe is the role of government. We didn't have that. Absolutely. We had gotcha questions. And if you notice, to the candidates that the news media likes, they were given questions and they were given answers and asked if they wanted to change it. So in other words, when you had Jeb Bush ask a question, he was given a previous answer he gave and how he'd like to change it. And the same with John Kasich. But yet neither one of them, the two who worked at Lehman Brothers up until the implosion of 2008, they worked there right up until it. They were not asked one question about that. And as you know, Lehman Brothers was integral in the frauding of the investors when they wrapped the derivatives with high risk versus low risk.
We're going to disagree about Lehman Brothers somewhat, but I'm going to leave that for a different show. But I agree with you, I think there's definitely bias that is reflected by the way the questions are asked and who they're asked of. But I also think I wouldn't call it an inquisition, because an inquisition suggests a real hostility, an attempt to really catch these guys and crucify them.
You didn't really get that feeling? Because I'm going to tell you what I think your show is.
A lot of these are softballs.
I'm going to tell you what I think your show is.
A lot of the questions are softballs. Even to the candidates they don't like, they didn't ask them anything fundamental, anything hard, anything that would really challenge them.
You know why I listen to your show? Because I believe what it is, you're talking about Ayn Rand, but more than that, you're really rediscussing the Enlightenment. You're discussing, yes, does each individual have unalienable rights? Are we entitled to enjoy those rights? At any time, can those rights be infringed upon? That's why I like your show. And that, right now, is the topic of politics in America. And we are discussing that with nuances.
It should be the topic of politics. It's not what they're discussing, though.
But it should be, and that's my point. We need to get them back on track to understand we are redefining what unalienable rights are and whether the individual is entitled to it, or whether it be a certain economic level of income, a color of skin, they have the right to have those rights stripped away. That's the real discussion.
I agree completely. And that's a discussion we're going to have. Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate it. Keep calling. Keep listening. And you're absolutely right. The fundamental debate in America today is a debate about the Enlightenment. Do we still hold the ideas of the founders sacred? Are these ideas the right ideas to live by? Or are we rejecting them and adopting the post-Enlightenment ideas, which we will discuss when we come right back after this break?
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. On the outbound Kennedy, there's solid delays between the Junction and Harlem because of an earlier crash. Downtown to the Junction is 17, to O'Hare 57 minutes. The express lanes are okay. On the inbound lanes, between the River Toll Plaza to Harlem, also to about Lawrence, down to Armitage, it's heavy. O'Hare to downtown, 34 minutes. From the Junction is 18 minutes. Eisenhower inbound, Thorndale to the post office, 46 minutes. From Mannheim is 32. The outbound lanes from the post office to Mannheim is 28. Out to Thorndale, 41 minutes. Stevenson outbound Lakeshore Drive to 355 is 50 minutes. The inbound lanes from 355 out to Lakeshore is 35 minutes. Tonight, look for temperatures around 71 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 81 and thunderstorms, currently 80 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Last week, as the 2016 campaign ramped up with the first Republican debate, the morning show host of that other radio station, well, he took a vacation. Meanwhile, Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson was on the job, providing instant analysis of the debate and taking your phone calls. In 2016, we'll always be on the job. We're your election headquarters in Chicago. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Anne, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-758-5360.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon here on AM 560, The Answer. Don't miss the show. It's every Saturday, 4 p.m. Chicago time. If you're interested in what I have to say here on the show, you might want to check out the website, ARI.AynRand, AynRand.org, ari.einrand.org. And you can also follow me on Twitter, Yaron Brook, or like me on Facebook. Also, my name, Yaron, Y-A-R-O-N, Brook, B-R-O-O-K. Would love to have you on board following us during the week, not just here on the show, but we have commentary and about the news, about what's going on in the world, about events that are going on in Chicago and elsewhere all week long. So stay engaged, stay in touch. You can also call in this afternoon to talk about the debate or to talk about what's going on in Illinois and Chicago. Call in numbers 312-642-5600. That's 312-642-5600. And Sean brought up a great point that I just want to articulate more, because I think this is so important. And some of you who are not interested in history or not interested in intellectual history or where this country came from, you're going to have to forgive me, but nothing more important than this, in my view. This country, the United States of America, in my view, is the greatest country in the history of mankind. And what makes it the greatest country in the history of mankind is that it was founded on a moral philosophical principle. It was founded at the height of the Enlightenment. Indeed, the greatest achievement of the Enlightenment is the United States of America. What is that principle, and what was the Enlightenment? The Enlightenment was about two fundamental ideas. It was about the efficacy of reason, of the human mind, of science, of our ability to understand the world around us. And almost by definition or by implication, a negation and a rejection of mystical revelation as a way to know the world. So it was a sidelining of religion and an embrace of reason as our means to know the world. The Enlightenment really starts with Newton, the great scientist, who showed us for the first time that the physical world could be understood. We could explain how objects move. We could explain the planets. We could explain the reality that is around us. And philosophers like John Locke and others took this principle, this idea of reason, and they applied it to our political lives. And the first question they really engaged with is, who reasons? Who uses their mind? It's not the group. It's not the collective. It's not the state. It's you and me. It's the individual. Reason is a faculty of the individual. Only individuals think. And if only individuals can reason, and therefore, they suddenly realized the supremacy of the individual over the group. That it was indeed the individual that needed to be protected from the group so he could think, so he could pursue the values necessary for his own life. Only individuals can decide what's good for them. Only individuals can make choices about their own lives, about their own happiness. Because only they can think. Only they know their own personal values. Only they can make decisions for themselves. And a whole political theory came out of this. Out of this idea of individualism, which is an idea coming out of the Enlightenment. And our founding fathers embraced these ideas and developed them and created a political system based on the idea of individualism, based on the idea of protecting individual rights, based on the idea of protecting the individual from the group, from the state, from the tribe, from the king, the representative of the group. And they did this through a constitution and a bill of rights that says nobody can infringe on your rights. You have a right to your own life. You have a right to pursue the values that are necessary for you to live. You have a right to liberty, to act, to think. As long as you're not infringing on other people's rights, you have a right to act and think any way you please, whether your neighbors like it or not, whether the king, there is no king in America, whether the president or Congress or your governor likes it or not. And you have a right to pursue happiness. And you don't have a right to other people's stuff. Because the only way you can have a right to other people's stuff is if we make stealing legal. You can't have a right to other people's stuff because that means that slavery would be returned to America. You can't have a right to health care because that means people have to give it to you, provide for you, provide the money, provide the care, doctors, nurses. Are now your slaves. They're now your servants. No, you have a right to buy health care. You have a right to pick your doctor. You don't have a right to enslave your doctor. So these principles that the United States of America was founded on, these are moral principles, ethical principles. These are principles of the Enlightenment. And these are the principles we need to resurrect. These are the principles we need to bring back into the political debate. You didn't see any of that in the debate on Thursday. We got Michael on the line, and he wants to talk about the shallowness of the debate. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. First time listening, hearing your show. First time caller, of course. Wow, I was really blown away. Very disappointed. I'm a big Fox News listener, fan of Chris Wallace, Megyn Kelly, Bret Baier, and I thought, as the previous caller mentioned, Is that really what we want to know from these people, these candidates? Are we not in the 11th hour? Is there not a four-alarm fire bell going on that nobody hears? That we have to hear what Donald Trump, his Twitter account said about Rosie O'Donnell and other people? I mean, I'm disgusted and disgraced at Megyn Kelly. I thought she sounded as tabloidish as ever, and that's a very smart woman, a lawyer. But I couldn't believe it. As the other caller said, everybody, they just wanted to dig into the past. It was a reactionary type of inquisition.
And it was unprincipled. I mean, I'm fine with digging into the past if they're going to ask them about issues. What about asking them about Social Security and Medicare, which are driving this country bankrupt? What about asking them about really digging into Obamacare, not whether they oppose or agree with Obamacare, but what would they replace Obamacare with? Give us some details. Tell us what your philosophy is when it comes to health care. Who should provide it? Should it be privatized? Does the state have any role? I mean, they're really interesting, important questions that American people deserve answers from our candidates, and yet the questions weren't even asked. I'm not even blaming the candidates because nobody asked them the question.
Right, and look, I mean, nobody, immigration, they never even dug into what everybody's position is. I read I did some statistical research prior to the debate on from numbers.com about where all of them stand on immigration and so forth. Nobody's report card was even delved into. You're right. We've got such a call to action right now, and nobody got qualified on that stage. It was a popularity.
No, you're right. The country's falling apart.
Yeah,
country's falling apart. We're going bankrupt. We've got a president who has a clear philosophy. It's progressivism, and it's disastrous. It's a statist, anti-American philosophy. And instead of letting the Republicans articulate an alternative vision, the questions took them in a completely different direction. And then the candidates, didn't take advantage when they had an opportunity to articulate a vision. I mean, what we need right now is an alternative vision to Obama and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and nobody took that up?
Yeah, and I, as far as I'm concerned, I'll let you go after this, and I appreciate the time on the phone, but
sure.
You know, the Democrats didn't really get hurt so much, and God forbid we have to deal with another liberal for another 4 years. I'm sorry. I think we are in such a bad place because of this administration and what they've allowed to do and how they've gotten so far away from what the founding fathers of this country have written and put into stone. Look, you don't like the Constitution, then get out of the country. This is America. This is what we're about. And stop changing the laws to suit the current times. That's not what we're about.
I'm with you completely, Michael. Thanks for calling and keep on listening. Absolutely. I mean, the sad thing is, unfortunately, that almost nobody in America today understands the Constitution. Almost nobody understands where this country came from. And in my whole discussion about the Enlightenment and about our founders, nobody talks about these things. And even our Supreme Court, even the people on the right in the Supreme Court, I fear, have almost no understanding of what the Bill of Rights, what the Constitution, and most importantly, what the Declaration of Independence really means, because they have no conception of what individual rights mean. But you know what? On this show, we understand those ideas, and we're going to talk about them, and we're going to force this into the discussion. Talk to you right after this break.
The Republican candidates for president debated for the first time, and you heard it exclusively on AM 560, The Answer.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
He's already hedging his bet on the Clintons.
What happens next?
People are uninformed.
Happens here.
But if this election is a resume competition, then Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president.
This is your election headquarters.
I didn't get a phone call from Bill Clinton before I jumped in the race.
This is AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The mayor of New York announcing that no new cases of deadly Legionnaire's disease have been reported over the past 4 days, and that none of the nearly 100 infected have succumbed to the illness. But he says it's been tough.
This is literally uncharted territory, and it's very important that we acknowledge that. We've never seen an outbreak of Legionnaires like this in the history of New York City.
Bill de Blasio, health officials have narrowed the source of the outbreak to one of 5 contaminated water towers. There's one conspicuous absence in Atlanta, Georgia today at the GOP's Red State gathering.
Donald Trump not speaking at the influential Red State gathering in Atlanta. Organizer Eric Erickson disinvited the candidate because of his controversial remarks about Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly. Despite the distraction, other candidates at the event largely stayed focused on issues ranging from foreign policy to same-sex marriage.
Fox's Jonathan Seri, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Solid delays between the junction and Harlem if you're heading on the outbound Kennedy because of an earlier crash. Downtown to the junction is 16, out to O'Hare 54 minutes. The express lanes are at 15 minutes. On the inbound Kennedy, it's a little slow between the River Toll Plaza and Canfield, also slowing down between Lawrence and Armitage. O'Hare to downtown, it's 33 minutes. From the junction is 17. On the Eisenhower, heading inbound, Thorndale to the post office, 42 minutes. From Mannheim is 29. Outbound lanes from the post office to Mannheim is 31. Out to Thorndale, 44 minutes. Inbound Stevenson, 355 to Lakeshore Drive is 35. Outbound lanes from Lakeshore Drive to 355 is 50 minutes. Tonight, 71 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 81 and thunderstorms, currently 80 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Meet your fellow Ayn Rand admirers from around the country for an evening celebrating the ideas of Atlas Shrugged. Join them on the evening of September 29th at the St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan for the 7th Annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution Benefit Dinner and Live Auction. More than 5 decades after its publication, Atlas Shrugged continues to influence millions of people, and each year thousands more are introduced to and forever changed by Ayn Rand's magnum opus. Find out why and how the Ayn Rand Institute is promoting Rand's ideas throughout the United States and around the world. You'll be supporting the work of the Ayn Rand Institute to encourage even more young people to read and study Ayn Rand's novels in the years ahead. Visit online at aynrand.org/NYC or call us toll-free at 800-365-6552, extension 204. Seating is limited, so make sure to call or go online. That's aynrand.org/NYC or call 800-365-6552, extension 204.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit aynrand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to aynrand.org today.
When flipping houses, there's one golden rule: cash talks. I'm going to show you how you can easily get $10,000 plus all the cash you'll ever need for free. I'm Andrew Holmes, popular radio show host and founder of Chicago's number one flipping team. And I've flipped over 600 houses in Chicago right under your nose. And now I'm going to show you how. I'm holding a free seminar right here in the Chicagoland area where I'll give a select few the opportunity to use my funding to flip houses and net up to $40,000 per deal without spending a dime of your own money. You don't need good credit and you don't need any of your own money. If the deal is good, you'll get the funds. The first 100 people to call 844-MONEY-40 and register will receive my blueprint to real estate wealth system for free. All you have to do is find a great deal and pass it on to me and I'll give you $10,000. Time is running out. Seating is very limited. Call 844-MONEY-40. That's 844-MONEY-40.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
What we need in this country, all over this country, in the presidential debates, but really among ourselves, in on the radio and in our living rooms, but certainly in the presidential debates, certainly in our public forums, we need a debate about principles. We need a debate about what this country actually stands for. We need a debate about the role of government. Not a silly debate about this tweet or that tweet or about this person's experience or that person's experience, but about ideas, about the actual issues that are driving this world. We live today in an America that is growing economically at a pathetically slow pace. We live in an America today where if you're young, certainly if you're in the inner cities, your job prospects are close to zero. We live in an America today with shrinking opportunities, the land of opportunities. Opportunities are shrinking. We live in a country today where our president is appeasing our biggest enemies abroad, and where the enemy, to some extent, is among us. Think Garland, Texas, where two Muslim Americans went off to shoot a bunch of people because they didn't like what they had to say. We live in an America today where at universities and colleges, you have free speech zones. I thought a university was a free speech zone. Isn't that what going to college is about? Testing out new ideas, experimenting with them? But no, there's certain ideas that are intolerable for the delicate ears of today's millennials. We live in an America today where the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago are basically bankrupt. Not quite legally bankrupt, but basically bankrupt. Where our public schools are not teaching our kids. They seem to be mechanisms by which some people, teachers, can guarantee themselves relatively nice pensions into retirement, but where education does not indeed happen. We live in an America where, you know, things are getting better very, very slowly and only for some people. The economy grows. We get a new iPhone every year. But there's so many problems, so many issues, so many things that are broken. And yet nobody wants to talk about them. If you think the state of Illinois is bankrupt, if you think the city of Chicago is bankrupt, well, what do you say about a federal government that has unfunded liabilities of over $100 trillion? But of course, they're not on the books. That, like Chicago Public Schools pension liabilities, but they're just not on the books because the federal government doesn't have to put them on their books. And not a single question about that in a presidential debate. How do you fix that? How do you get over that? How do you deal with that? Ooh, those are the sacred cows of American politics. Well, those sacred cows, they're right here in front of us. They're going to kill us, those cows. So you better deal with them. Republicans better have answers to them. And as honest newscasters, you better ask the questions. We live in an America today heading towards socialized medicine, where insurance companies emerging like crazy. Because ultimately, what we're going to have is single payer, and they know it. The single payer will be, the insurance company will ultimately be the government. That's after all these insurance companies merge and then fail. And then the government will blame the failure on the market. And then the government will step in and socialize all health care. And yet nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about Obamacare and they don't like Obamacare. I get it. Republicans hate Obamacare. I hate Obamacare. What's your solution? What's your alternative? I have an alternative. What's yours? Shouldn't we have a discussion in America not just about the evils of Obamacare, but about what a proper alternative is and what would guide that alternative? What's the principle behind that alternative? I mean, the principle I would articulate is the government has no business in healthcare. The government is there to protect our rights. No rights are threatened by my doctor. No rights are threatened by my insurance company. Free up the market. Privatize it. That's the principle. But let's have a debate. Let's have a discussion. Other people disagree with me. Okay. I believe in free speech in America. But let's have a debate. Let's not cower. Yeah, people admire Donald Trump for saying what he thinks, but what he thinks is meaningless. What he says is silly. I'd love to see a politician not be a politician. A politician stand up and articulate a radical, controversial, provocative case for freedom in America. I'd love to see a Thomas Jefferson out there articulating the case for limited government, a government that if the government that doesn't interfere in our lives, a government that leaves us alone. You know, Thomas Jefferson couldn't get into the debates. He probably wouldn't score enough. I don't think George Washington or John Adams or James Madison, I don't think any of them could get into debates, never mind win an election. They're way too radical. They're way too concerned with principles. They're way too concerned with ideas. And they're not religious enough for this crowd. Not for these group of Republicans who are obsessed with religion. This is the country of the Founding Fathers, and the Founding Fathers couldn't be elected today. What a shame. What a disaster.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. On the inbound Edens from Lake Cook to the junction, it's 25 minutes. The outbound lanes takes only 20. The Kennedy inbound, heavy between the O'Hare Extension and Canfield, also slowing down between Central and the junction, and then it picks up some more steam, pretty heavy between the junction and Armitage. O'Hare to downtown, 31 minutes. From the junction is 17. Outbound lanes pretty heavy between Kimball out to Cumberland. Downtown to the junction, 15. To O'Hare, 36. The express lanes are okay at 13 minutes. Eisenhower inbound, Thorndale to the post office, 42 minutes. From Mannheim is 29. Outbound lanes from the post office to Mannheim is 27. Out to Thorndale, 40 minutes. On the Stevenson outbound Lakeshore Drive out to 355, 41 minutes. Tonight, 71 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 81 and thunderstorms. Currently, 80 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Hi, this is Steve DeJohn with the DeJohn Advisory Team, and if you have an IRA, 401k, brokerage account, CDs, or any retirement money, please call 866-515-6669 to get your free Paycheck for Life quote. You will be amazed on how much money you can get annually for the rest of your life. Here's what we just did for a 54-year-old client who had a $500,000 401k rollover. He received over $66,000 in free bonus money added to his original $500,000 401k. In addition, at age 70, he will receive over $79,000 every year for as long as he is alive. Visit YourRetirementCheck.com or call 866-515-6669 to get your free DVD. This DVD has many other examples for you to look at. Call 866-515-6669. That's 866-515-6669 or visit YourRetirementCheck.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, we've still got two quick segments here, and you can call in, challenge me, disagree, or agree with me. That's good, too. I like people who agree with me, but it's more fun when you disagree. 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. And if you're interested in what you hear on the show every week, I'm here every week on Saturday at 4 o'clock. I hope you keep listening. You can catch us online at ari.aynrand.org. That's ari.aynrand.org. Or just follow me on Twitter or Facebook, Yaron Brook, Y-A-R-O-N, Brook, B-R-O-O-K. So we were talking about the debates and what kind of the candidates didn't say. So I want to say a little bit about what I think they should be saying and what somebody out there, some voice within the political world should be saying, because we really, particularly you guys in Chicago and Illinois, we're in deep, deep trouble. Illinois is bankrupt. Chicago is bankrupt. The country really is bankrupt. If you actually put all the liabilities on the balance sheet, things are not good. And I'd like to see a candidate advocate for rolling back government. I mean, really rolling back government. Not pretending, but actually articulating the case to shut down whole departments of government, to phase out regulatory agencies, to shrink spending, government spending, not to reduce the growth, which is the pretend game that Republicans often play, and they call that cutting spending because they've cut spending relative to what the Democrats would have us spend. No, actually cutting spending. I'd like to see one budget that actually spends less than last year's budget. And that means having some idea on what the real purpose of government is and rolling back everything else, eliminating whole functions of government, phasing out, because you can't eliminate all at once. You can't eliminate all at once the regulations. You can't eliminate all at once the entitlement. I get that, but I would like to see somebody propose a plan that actually started phasing these things out. I'd like to see a Republican with the guts, instead of the guts of a Donald Trump, which I don't think what he says takes much guts. It's mostly just silly stuff. But actually somebody having the guts to say stuff that, yeah, probably won't get you elected. Probably will turn a lot of people off. But we'll start changing the debate in this country. We'll start changing what we talk about in this country. And instead of just taking things like government intervention in healthcare through Medicare and Medicaid, now through Obamacare, for granted, let's put that on the table. Let's have a discussion about the virtues of socialized medicine for old people, which is what I call Medicare, which is bankrupting this country and enslaving young generations to their grandparents and great-grandparents. Let's talk about that, whether that's moral, whether that's right, whether that's just. For every dollar some of you have paid into Medicare, you're going to consume $4. Where's that going to come from? Where are those dollars going to come from? From your kids, from your grandkids, from your great-grandkids. They're going to have to pay four times more taxes than you did. That's a conversation worth having. You think Medicare is good? Fine. Let's debate it. I think it's an abomination. It's an immoral abomination that has to be. We have to find a way to get to phase it out. And we have to have candidates who have the guts to make it an issue. Maybe one of these guys who knows they're going to lose because, hey, there's 17 candidates. Some of them are going to lose. 16. Why not take the opportunity to raise some issues that nobody wants to talk about but are so crucial to the future of America? Where would you cut spending? How would you shrink government. I mean, this is a conversation that has to happen in Chicago and Illinois as you guys approach bankruptcy. And yet, even Governor Rauner is not really willing to lay it down. How much? Where are we going to cut? What things should government just not be doing? I'd say most of the things that it does today. And granted, most people aren't going to agree with me, but that's fine. But let's start discussing that instead of playing political games and pushing the can down the road to for future generations to deal with. Let's be adults. Let's be responsible. Let's be rational. How do we disentangle ourselves from the regulatory state? You know, we talked about this in past shows. We've talked about licensing laws and minimum wage laws, but that's just the beginning. That's just the, you know, starting a business in Chicago is one of the hardest in the country of all cities, you know. But why should starting a business in America require government approval? I don't get that. This is the land of the free. This is the land of business, the land of opportunity. Yeah, okay, they need to know you've started a business, so you submit a form and you go open the shop or the business or the office or whatever it is. Why do you need government approval? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's anti-American. Let's have a conversation about that. Let's have a debate about that. Let's ask presidential candidates about that. Let's talk about state rights. Now, I don't believe there is such a thing. States don't have rights. Only individuals have rights. Only individuals have rights. The only job of the state is to protect our rights. That's true of your local government, of your state government, and of the federal government. And if a state is violating your rights, the job of the federal government is to tell them to stop. If your local government is violating your rights, the job of the state government is to tell them to stop. At no level of government are they allowed to violate your rights. In other words, to use coercion to force you to do things you do not believe in, you do not agree with. The kind of government I want is a government of freedom, a government that leaves us alone to live our lives, protects us, but otherwise stays out of our bedrooms and boardrooms.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Chicago's safe money strategist.
It's really taken that time to take initiative and say, you know what? I've been doing good already, but I don't want to give any of this money back in case the market were to go down. What options are available out there?
Join Raj Shah for Secure Retirement Radio, strategies for building and protecting your money. Sundays at 7 a.m. here on AM 560, The Answer.
Sports presented by Inertia Health Center. This Sunday night with Schaumburg Seminoles President Russ Gangler, you'll be updated on everything newsworthy and entertaining in the world of sports. Tune in as Russ shares his personal stories, knowledge, and takes your calls for expert analysis, updates, commentary, and interviews. Catch Livin' Sports this Sunday night at 10 on AM 560 The Answer. Brought to you by Park Lane Jewelers.
You're Ron Brook. Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
Just to show you how pathetic and ridiculous this debate was, you can't beat the last question that was asked of the candidates before they had closing comments. they were asked this. I want to know if any of you have received a word from God on what you should do and take care of first. Now, if I had been on stage and I'd been asked that question, I would have said, if there's anybody here who actually hears voices and thinks they are talking to God, I think that automatically disqualifies you from being president of the United States. I think that's certifiable. I think you should be institutionalized. I mean, wow. The fact that a number of the candidates actually answered this question seriously just illustrates how low we have come, how pathetic the debate is, and how seriously we take religion in this country. Really? God is speaking to you? You're hearing voices? He is dictating policy? And of course, George Bush, during the war in Iraq, was, said, I think, on a number of occasions that God had really gotten him into this mess. I somehow doubt that. But we take religion incredibly seriously in this country. And again, if I hearken back to the founding fathers, I think if you'd asked Thomas Jefferson this question, he would have laughed you. He was laughed at you. He would have thought that was ridiculous. That to the extent that he believed in God, he would think that God would stoop to whispering in his ear, or that he would stoop to taking somebody whispering in his ear as evidence of anything. He would probably have himself institutionalized if he started hearing the voice of God in his ear. No, the founding fathers believed in guiding our country and guiding policy and guiding life based on reason, based on facts, based on evidence, based on science. And because they understood that only individuals reason, that only individuals have values, that you don't know what is important for somebody else, that individuals must be left alone to live their lives, that whether it's the word of God or even your opinion, you have no right to tell somebody else how to live their lives, what to do with their lives, how to run their business, how to educate their children, how to live their life. Only they have a right to do that. So what we need in this country is to resurrect the Enlightenment, to resurrect the values of reason and individualism, to shun religious debate on the stages of our presidential debates. The response to questions about religion should be, religion plays no role in the way I will govern this country. As president of the United States, I will govern it consistently with the Constitution of the United States and consistent with my political philosophy. Here is my political philosophy. I believe, at least, and I hope the candidates believe, in a complete separation of church and state, complete separation of religion from policy, reason and individualism. See you next week.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Meet your fellow Ayn Rand admirers from around the country for an evening celebrating the ideas of Atlas Shrugged. Join them on the evening of September 29th at the St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan for the 7th Annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution Benefit Dinner and Live Auction. More than 5 decades after its publication, Atlas Shrugged continues to influence millions of people